See, I know what you're doing. You're thinking that if you fellowship long enough, I won't have any more time. I've been around the block a time or two. Oh, it is so wonderful to have this opportunity, this privilege to share with you. I've learned since I've been here that several of our folks have COVID. And these are challenging days for all of us. I want to share with us tonight, maybe Bible study, maybe preaching, maybe some of both. Maybe a lot of neither. But I want you to turn to the last verse, 2 Corinthians, as a basic text, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, the very last verse. There's a phrase in there. I want to talk tonight about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And this is our basic text. I would like for you to leave your Bibles open because I want to refer to some passages. I feel like I'm real loud. Am I too loud out there? Okay. I probably will be, but all right. There's some passages, they're so strategic, I want us to look at them, so I want you to turn there in a while. Okay, you found that one by now. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. For over a year now, I have been captivated by that phrase. I have been thinking about communion or fellowship. I'll use those words interchangeably. Communion with the Holy Spirit, which is basically walking with God, isn't it? I remember. I love the old story of Enoch. So Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You and I, one of these days, are going to be a was not. Jim was down at the bakery one morning, and he became a was not. Mary was on her way to work second shift at the hospital, and she became a was not. Because God took us. That's a picture in the Old Testament of our translation. But I have contemplated this for quite some time. So I pray the Holy Spirit will teach us and lead us. I pray you'll be encouraged and our Lord will be exalted. There are two essentials for communion with the Holy Spirit. There are two essentials. The first one is God's initiative. God's initiative. Look at your hands for a moment. Our hands were made to receive. Our heart is made like our hands. All that we have tonight as we sit here, all that we have has been given to us from God. Amen? We are, and we're not really good receivers. We have to practice at it. But we have received, for we receive from Him. God takes the initiative. And the second essential part of fellowship with the Holy Spirit is our desire. If any man thirst. There is not a person on the planet that can make us hungry for God. That's between you, between me and the Holy Spirit. So that's the essentials of communion with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm going to say something real weird, and then I'm going to try to spend the rest of my time trying to explain it. We have done a fairly good job on the Calvary side of the gospel. We have done not so good of a job on the resurrection side, the ascension side. That's why Charles Spurgeon said most Christians don't believe in the resurrection. And I'm thinking, he was a greater theologian than I would ever think to be. But you can't be saved without believing in the resurrection, according to Romans 10, right? But what he meant was, there's the very life of God The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is not as evident in us as He wants to be. So let's talk about that for a little bit. What I want to talk about is two aspects of this fellowship involve His intercession and His advocacy. His intercession and His advocacy. Hebrews 7, by the way, the book of Hebrews is the only book that tells us of the priestly ministry of our Lord. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He ever lives. This may be the most important thing I'll say to you. The very fact that He is in heaven this very moment does not mean that His heart has changed. His heart right now is just like it was when He walked the earth. Though His position has changed, His heart has not changed. It's still the same. When John, it had been 60 years since the Apostle John had seen our Lord, and after our Lord had resurrected and John had been on the Isle of Patmos, and John saw our risen Lord Jesus. He was no longer the lamb. He was now the lion of the tribe of Judah. And John saw our Lord, and he looked at Him, and our Lord Jesus said to him what He said to the disciples earlier, "Don't be afraid." John says, "When I saw Him, I fell at His feet as dead." And I would too. And you would too. And our Lord says, "Don't be afraid." His heart is still the same. It's hard for us to wrap our minds around this, but this very moment, as we sit here, He is praying for you. He ever lives to make intercession. He is praying for you this very moment. 7:24s, He prays for you. I said it like this. Spring, summer, winter, and fall, He's praying for us all. Now I want you to turn to Romans 8:26-27 as Paul talks more about this intercession. We're talking about fellowship with the Holy Spirit, communion with God. How do we commune with God? First of all, through His interceding for us. Aren't you thankful that when you're weak and downcast and even when you stumble, He doesn't throw you away? He reaches out and He prays for us. Romans 8:26-27. I'm reading from the New American Standard, so it may vary a little differently from yours. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know. We could almost stop there, couldn't we? Sometimes. For we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit Himself. It's unfortunate the old King James translates that, the Spirit itself. We know by now the Spirit of God is not an it. He's a person. The Spirit Himself, here it is, intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That could very well be your prayer language. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. What an awesome two verses. Look at the little word helps. Just five letters in the English. That little word helps is 17 letters in the Greek word for that. I mean, I wouldn't even begin to pronounce it. If I tried to, I wouldn't know it, and you wouldn't either know the difference. It is a very difficult word. But the little word helps. It's a word picture of a man who is standing beside a log. And he cannot lift up both sides of that log. He can lift up his side. He needs someone to come alongside and lift the other side of the log. That is the picture of this word here, helps. The Holy Spirit comes alongside and walks with you He carries our burden. Isaiah 46 even says, we don't carry our God. Our God carries us. Hallelujah. And so I've kind of pictured intercession like this, and I'll have to clean this up because it's not a perfect analogy. But I've often thought of intercession like when I pray, because sometimes after I pray, I think that my prayers are so feeble, my words are so inadequate. My petitions are so pathetic, and I wrestle in prayer, and you do too. And then I think that our Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, intercedes for us. And I've pictured it something like this. Father, that's what Larry said, but this is what he really meant. And again, I know that theologically that's incorrect, because the Father knows everything like the Son and the Spirit, okay? But I'm just trying to give us a little grip on this. It needs you to smile a little bit. Intercession. He translates the prayers into the will of God. Martin Luther on these two verses said, this is God praying to God. Intercession. Now turn to Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, 7 and Hebrews 4, 16. We're talking about communing with God. Hebrews 4, 16 and 5, 7. Intercession. The foundation, this is so crucial, the foundation of our Lord's intercessory ministry is His humiliation, His suffering. The atoning blood of our Lord Jesus is the only way we will ever be right with God. Ever. It's the blood. The blood. And in the throne room, His nail-scarred hands, He presents Himself to our Father. And look at, in 5:7, this is one of my favorite verses. In the days of His flesh, or in the days of His humanity, He offered up both prayers and pleads with loud crying and tears to the one able to save Him from death. And He was heard because of His devout behavior. In the days of His flesh. In the margin, I wrote, that's the ministry of His humiliation. Intercession, first of all, is based upon His ministry of humiliation. He humbled Himself. He became obedient to death. The Hebrew writer says right in the next verse. Humiliation. Paved the way. He paid a debt He didn't owe, and I owed a debt I couldn't pay. His humiliation paved the way for intercession. And then there's the ministry of exaltation. Look down at 4:16. While we're in the neighborhood, Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need. You know how a lot of people see that? They read it like this. That we may find grace to help in an emergency. That's not what it says. That you may find grace to help in time of need. When is your time of need? What about 7:24s? That's part of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Lord, I've got to have You all the time. And we'll see more how that works itself out later. But He intercedes for us. You see, when we fail to say about ourselves what God says. So many people have low self-esteem. They don't feel good about themselves. We dwell on our unworthiness all the time. And in ourselves, of course, we are. But when we live in a state of negative self-esteem and low self-worth, we cast dispersion on the work of God. We tell Him what He did at Calvary is not sufficient for me. How dare we feel that way? That's unbelief. We need to get rid of it. Amen? We need to say about us what he says about us. So 4:16 is his ministry of exaltation. 5:7 is his ministry of humiliation. And now turn to Philippians 2:13. We're talking about our fellowship with him. Philippians 2:13. This is one of Pastor Eddie's favorite verses. Philippians 2:13. We're talking about communion, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It is God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That word works is the word for energy. What does that look like in your daily life? How does it look like that he energizes us? Well, for one thing, he draws us to himself, doesn't he? He woos us. I love Hosea 11, 3 and 4 says that I led them and I wooed them with my love. That's how he draws us. I'm going to share a quick story I've never shared publicly. I'm 73 years old. I've preached over 50 years and I've never shared this. I don't know particularly why, but maybe it's just for tonight. When I was a 9-year-old boy, my parents did not send me to church. They took me. And one Sunday morning, my pastor preached the gospel. And the Holy Spirit got hold of this little 9-year-old boy's heart. And I thought my heart was going to literally beat out of my chest. I was nervous and I was fearful. And I ran down the aisle. And I don't remember one word I said, but I met Jesus that morning as a little 9-year-old boy. Now you got to remember now, I'm thinking as a child. On the way home, this thought came to my mind. God just tricked me. He saved me, and now he's got me. Hallelujah. Means more now than it did then. That's how this little boy thought. And see, that was weird a long time ago. He tricked me, and now he's got me. He woos us. That's one way that he works in us. The second way he works in us is this. He causes us to cherish the Son. The Holy Spirit causes us to love Jesus. It is not natural to love God. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, I say this reverently, always shines his flashlight on Jesus. I was taught in my seminary background that you don't talk about the Holy Spirit, so we didn't. And it dawned on me one day, he wrote the whole book. Duh. So, the Holy Spirit always magnifies Jesus. A third thing is, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, does not throw demands at you that you can't keep. I think that's one of the biggest lies in the Bible Belt that we have to deal with. Somebody's always raising the bar. If you're not raising the bar on yourself, you've got some friends that'll help you raise it. Amen? I can never do quite enough. That's right. I could live 100 lives and never do enough. But that's why he said, it's finished. It's finished. He doesn't give us demands that we can't keep. I pastored for 17 years without the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And Corrie Ten Boom nailed it correctly when she said, the most discouraging, depressing, defeating thing in this world is to attempt the work of God without the power of God. That is so true. So true. And bless God, we don't have to. One thing that helps us is to get desperate. And God engineers circumstances in our lives to help us get desperate. Where you are right now, you're not there because He's angry with you. He set you up. He puts us in a corner, so we'll have to look to Him. He doesn't do anything capricious to you. He has such a bad reputation from us. He's your loving Father. And He engineers your circumstances and mine, so we'll look to Him. It is God who works in you. Another way that works is He constantly illuminates us. He constantly illuminates us. He enlightens us. He essentially told the disciples, and I'm paraphrasing, "I'm leaving and I'm sending one just like me. And whatever is done on this earth, to the end of the age, He will do it. If anything gets done, the Holy Spirit will do it." And our hearts cry out tonight, "More, Lord. More of You." Everything, and this is not preacher talk, this is reality. Everything Jesus does is good. And everything He allows is good for us. Let's talk for a minute about His role as an advocate. 1 John 2:1, if you'll turn there. 1 John 2:1. We're talking about communion with God. 1 John 2:1. John was in his 90s when he wrote these three small letters. Our advocacy. Talking now about His role as an advocate. By the way, the word advocate and the word comforter is the same Greek word, paraclete. It's unfortunate, I think sometimes, when we hear the word comforter, I think sometimes we might confuse comfort with self-pity. God's not into self-pity. And you and I shouldn't be. We try to be an amateur providence sometimes, and say, we're kind when we say it, but I'm sorry when you have to go through that. But it's called life. And He is our comfort. But that word comfort is that word I gave you earlier, where He comes and walks along beside us. And I submit to you this moment that you and God are a majority in anything you face. If you start looking around you, you're going to get defeated. If you start looking inside, no wonder we're miserable. Don't look at yourself first. Look at Jesus first. Focus on Him. Andrew Murray said, a little glimpse will save you, but a gaze will sanctify you. So we look at Him. Our focus is not on Him. Our focus is not on the White House. Our focus is not on red, white, or blue, or ugly. Our focus is on Him. The only way we're going to make it through this stuff, folks, is the power, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in us and for us. He's not against you. He's for you. He's on your side. Sometimes people say to me, "Larry, why doesn't God do more?" And my question is, what else do you want Him to do? You see, we either get it right here, folks, because He basically said to those early followers in John 14:17, "I'm giving you one just like me. I have no plan B." Either you get in on it with me and let me, I'll just allow me to live my life through you, or you will live in shallows and miseries. And so many people live that way. And we do so because we don't take time to think. We get emotional in our responses, and we don't get cerebral enough sometimes and just think that, hey, but wait a minute. This isn't my planet. And has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He's pretty jealous about being God. And you remember when we were children, we used to sing, "He's got the whole world in his hands." I hadn't heard that one in a while. His mercies. Oh, his mercies. I heard about a couple who were on a cruise. They were on this huge cruise ship, and they were out on the deck and standing around the banister looking out. All they could see was water. Water everywhere. Water here. Water everywhere. Miles and miles. All they could see. The wife turns to the husband and says, "Honey, just look at all that water." And the husband says, "Yeah, and that's just the top of it." She had one of those bright men too. "That's just the top of it." An old Puritan said, "It's a wonderful thing our Lord was given grace without measure, or we would have sure used it all up." But it's bottomless. And it's, and everything that happens in our lives is for a purpose. He's not haphazard. So we're talking about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. One or two things and I'm done. He reminds us of what Jesus said. That's exactly what he said he would do, isn't it? Three times in John 16 he says, "I've told you this." I'm paraphrasing. "I've told you this so you won't be caught off guard." That's why it's good to know what he says. I've told you things were going to be like this in the mess that we're living in right now. I've told you it's going to be that way. So camp out with me. Folks, you do know there has never been a society where it was easy to love God. Think about Noah for a minute. Moses says in Genesis that everywhere he looked, the thoughts of man's heart was on evil continually. And I think one of the saddest words in Scripture, where God says he was sorry that he made man. And he's going to start all over because he found an old boy with grace in him. And you know, he's still doing that. Noah basically said, "This whole world may go to hell, but my family's not going." And that's what we need to say. My family is getting smaller. My precious one went to heaven 16 months ago. And my son lives down in Hamilton with his dear wife and my three grandchildren. But God doesn't make any mistakes. Everything Jesus does is good, and everything he allows is good for us. Now, we either live there, or we get bitter. And I'll tell you, bitterness is a cancer that will destroy you. You've got children and grandchildren right now that are living in bitterness. They're in resentment. I'll tell you, it's an acid that destroys from the inside. So, what's our for you and me? It's to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do that? I've never done anything. For one thing, talk to him. Talk to the Holy Spirit. He's God. He's the only legitimate God on the planet. So talk to him. Like you talk to Jesus and the Father. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Second thing, to commune with him, worship him. Worship the Holy Spirit. Worship him. He's God. worship Him. Another thing you can do is ask him questions. Now, don't treat Him like Siri. But ask Him questions. Since I live alone now, so when I misplace my glasses or my wallet, or to be on spiritual, my remote, when I misplace something, I don't have my sweetie to fuss at. Say, where'd you put so-and-so's if she ever touched it? So I ask, Holy Spirit, where are my glasses? And He tells me where my glasses are. Sometimes He does it just like that. Sometimes I sit down and 5 minutes later, I know where my glasses are. Now, does everything work like an automated teller machine? No. You say, Larry, about that illustration about that log, why doesn't God carry the whole log? Because He didn't redeem a bunch of robots. He wanted people to love Him and to serve Him and to walk with Him. Three times, Abraham's called the friend of God. And Abraham's the father of the faithful. Have you read the story of Abraham recently? He went before a king and talked his wife into acting, to pretending she was his sister, so things would go well with Abraham. That sounds like man folk, doesn't it? That was Abraham. And yet, it's as Pastor said last Sunday, that's extraordinary grace and mercy. And where would we be without it? So, we worship Him. And we talk to Him and we ask Him questions. And then, here's the deal. Whatever He asks of us or wants of us, the attitude is not, do I really have to do that? The attitude is, do I really get to do that? When Pastor Eddie texted me and asked if I'd share tonight, I thought, do I really get to do that? Yes. His commandments are not drudgery. They're delights. He said, my commandments are not grievous. I lived for 17 years wondering about that as a pastor, because I was hearing about all these issues and trying to build a growing church. But I was more driven than I was called. So whatever you're doing, be called in it. Don't be driven. Don't run over people to get up the ladder. You'll probably see them on the way back down. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. The greatest joy in the earth is to know Him, to get to know Him better. I wouldn't trade places with anybody on the planet. Do you know that fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Stand up with me now. Right there where you stand, would you just, let's lift our hands and worship the blessed Lord, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let's ask Him for more. The masses don't desire truth, and the people who know God can't get enough of Him. So more, Lord. More of Your Holy Spirit, Lord. More of You and less of me. More, Lord. More of You, Lord. There is nothing You need this moment that more of Jesus can't fix. Holy Spirit, come. Descend on us like Cane Ridge and Pentecost and Azusa Street. You'd pick a night just like this to do that. We need you so much. We need you more than another sermon, more than another meeting. So Holy Spirit, come. Fill us. Oh, blessed Lord God Almighty, eternal God, creator of heaven and earth, and all that is therein. We bless you and praise you for being who you are. There is no God like you in all the earth. There is no rock like our rock. There is no God like our God. And so we bless you tonight and we love you. We honor you. And I pray that each person here right now, Lord Jesus, you said, if you give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So to ask Him for more and more. We do now, Jesus. And we bless you. And I love that benediction in Hebrews. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom be glory forever and ever. And amen and amen. And good night. I'll be here. Some of us will be here if you would like to pray, Father. God bless you. Thanks for coming tonight. Hope that helped you.